Welcome back to Protect the Paint. This is Brian McCormick here alongside Pat Burns. Pat, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Brian? Hello, everyone. You know, it's pouring rain right now, but doing all right. How's it going?
Good. I think you texted me right as it just like had like a huge cloud over us. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it looks like, you know, 9 p.m. already. So
yeah,
not fun weather here, at least in Philly, Pat. It's either been 95 and rainy or just flat out 95.
Yeah, same here in New York. You know, it's summertime, I guess. Modern day global warming summertime, at least. So we'll have to get used to it.
Yeah, I've never wished summer away so badly in my life to this point. But not that I want summer to end. I will miss the, you know, the late nights, the sun going down, you know, around 8:30, 9 p.m. But I just can't take this heat anymore, dude. We actually walk our son. He has like a little like car that we push him in every morning. And it's like 72, 73 around 9 a.m. here. And it feels like 90, 92, 95, man. It's just horrible, like how humid it is.
Yeah. I mean, when you have the humidity on the East Coast here, it's bad no matter what, you know, what time of day or night it is. You know, you get one or two good days where it's not as humid, but then when you're in the sun, it's too hot anyway. So, but, you know, soon enough, fall will come, right? Football start. We'll get to wear whatever we want.
Yeah, Pat, if you want to start a new ice bucket challenge, I'm all for it, brother. Just let me know, and we'll just pour ice on us next episode.
I'm good on that. You know, I'm good with the air conditioning, but I'll cheer you on, man, if you want.
There we go.
If you want to give it a shot. Man.
Let's dive into it, though, Pat. So another week, Dame is still on the Blazers. Harden is still a Sixer, but we made the most of it, I think, this episode, and hopefully you guys enjoy it here. But we're going to start ramping this up, you know, as soon as some action drops. And then pretty much, I mean, once October starts, it's going to be nonstop, probably two or three episodes per week, just to give you listeners out there a little forecast. But, Pat, let's talk about we were talking about before the episode started. We want to talk about pretenders, contenders, people that are not there yet. Teams we don't understand what they're doing either, right? There's definitely a handful. So contenders, I know you made a list, Pat. I want to share at least a handful of teams that I would put in the contender tier here. Teams that I can realistically seeing, you know, hoisting that trophy up come June of 2024. I think the obvious three, I think we'll both agree on, is the Nuggets, Celtics, and Bucks, in whatever order you want to put them in.
Yeah, no, they're all definitely still contenders. You know, the Bucks re-signed Middleton. Boston just re-signed Jaylen Brown today. You know, so they're going to reload and try again. You know, they were really good this year. Why not, you know, load up again and be good next year? The Nuggets, no reason to believe they won't continue what they did in the playoffs this year in the regular season. They're the favorites, in my opinion, of those three. Yeah, but I agree. I may throw in the Suns to make it top four, and maybe just out of the top four, the Heat, obviously, right? But let's leave the Heat out, and I'll throw the Suns in just because I like the moves they've made since getting Beal. I like the way they're rounding out the team. I consider them a legit title contender at this point, so.
Now, I agree with all points there. So to share my entire list of contenders, Pat, again, particular order. No, because I want to see what you had, too, because I thought you were going to give me a rough time about the Suns, but I think the Suns are definitely in there. They actually rounded out that roster nicely, made the most of, I think they had about $16 million or so to spend after, you know, getting Bradley Beal. They added about five or six effective players, you know, off the bench. So I actually see them having a great season, you know, barring health. You never know with Kevin Durant anymore. I'm wondering if they also shop Aiden around again for the 87th time come February. But no, I think they have a great team. I like what they did this offseason. I was not expecting them to have a better bench than the Sixers, for instance, right? Shout out to you Sixers fans just like me. But my contender list in full was the Nuggets, Celtics, Bucks, Suns, Lakers, Warriors. And then I put in Miami with an asterisk as long as they get Dame.
I like that list. You know, I wouldn't put the Lakers in contenders just yet. I would put them maybe in the rising category, two contenders, if that makes sense. But I would put the Heat in before I would put the Lakers in. That's my only disagreement. you know, I do like the moves the Lakers have made as well, but LeBron never has been able to really carry a team by himself completely. you know, the style he plays with, you know, he does need a strong team around him. So we'll see if that's enough for them to be a real contender. We'll see.
Yeah, I had to push back a little bit, Pat. I'm a little disappointed here. This is our first disagreement today, but this is why we do it. No, I mean, I don't. The Lakers, I would not put my money on them to win. I would rather take, you know, the Nuggets or the Suns, honestly. But I'm looking at the rest of the West, and there's a lot of question marks. You know, like the Kings, I'm not sure if they're gonna, you know, go up again, make that next step towards being an actual finals contender. They might get bounced out, you know, second round again, or what was it, first round against the Warriors? Like, that's how tough it was, right? They're gonna do.
I mean, they pushed the Warriors seven games, though. You know, like it was really a lot of those players on the team's first playoff experience, right? So, you're right. They're unproven, though. So I understand your point completely. Yeah, if you're betting money, that's a different conversation. If we're speculating, that's one thing. But if you're talking about putting money on it, I agree with what you're saying. You want to be a little more,
I guess what I want to add, Pat, is like, if this was any other year in the West, I would be fully on board with you. But it's like, you look at the rest, right? So you have the Kings, who knows what they'll do, if they'll actually take that next step. You talked about the Warriors. Are the Warriors going to have two squads again this year, the home Warriors and the away Warriors, right? Yeah. And I know they had a Chris Paul, and that's definitely a huge addition for them over Jordan Poole. But that's what I'm wondering, because everyone besides Draymond last year forgot how to play defense. And it's hard to ignore that for me when I'm in my head. I'm like, okay, like that's why the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals. Yeah. But no, I think the Suns are a better team than the Lakers. I would predict as of right now, probably go with Vegas and have the Nuggets and Suns in the Western Conference Finals. But I have to have the Lakers there because I think they added every piece back that they needed. Austin Reeves, I'm not sure how he got paid, what, $55, $56 million for 4 years with the market that's going on right now. Jeremy Grant's making almost, you know, triple the amount of that. So, yeah, I like the Lakers a lot. I'm not saying they're going to definitely win the championship next year, but I think the Nuggets, the Suns, and the Lakers are probably my top three for the West next year, with the Warriors fringe 3-4. I'm just not sure what they're going to do.
Yeah, no, that's completely fair. I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, the biggest hurdle for the Lakers might be making the playoffs, and the Warriors, right? You know, since they like to seem to, last year at least, take the entire regular season off and then just start playing once they get to the playoffs. So, you know, hopefully they win their play-in game and then make a run to the Western Conference Finals again.
See, I think the Lakers might be like a 4 or 5 seed as it stands, but
you know, how much better did they really get than last year? You know, like they were good last year.
Well, they added everyone, is what I'm saying, though, you know, so it's like if they can make the Western Conference Final last year, you know, why not this year? Aside from maybe Phoenix taking their spot.
Totally.
But
no, totally.
I would say the Kings, but I hate that they added back Harrison Barnes. Like, you know, he's not a terrible player. The Kings have a good team, but I don't know how much different they're going to be this year unless Fox scores like 40 a game, right? I think everyone else that they have is pretty much who, you know, they are who they are.
Yeah. No, the Kings are interesting. They have they're a well-coached team. They're young. You know, they have Sabonis and Fox are the two stars on the team. You know, but they're not as well experienced or rounded out as the other teams we're talking about. So I understand why you're putting them lower. The only debate I would say is, you know, if we're talking the Western Conference Finals, you could switch out the Warriors and Lakers. I think they're in very similar positions. Either team could make it there with the Suns, I think, or Nuggets, you know, so.
Then that's a great way to put it. Like if I told you today that the Lakers were in first or they were in eighth, you'd probably believe both scenarios, right? Just like with the Warriors. So I think we agree here, like the Nuggets and Suns are probably the cream of the crop out West, which is no surprise. Oh, yeah. If you look at Vegas, they agree as well. I mean, in the East, pretty much the same as it's been for the last 2-3 seasons, Bucks and Celtics. I don't see, unless Miami gets Dame, but Miami, like, I'm not sure if they're a shoe-in if they get Dame. I'm not saying that they're not going to be a better team, and I know they beat the Bucks last year round one, but those guys, many of those guys that shot over 50% in that series, you know, you have Caleb Martin, but you had Max Strus, Gabe Vincent. You're missing two out of those three guys now, right? So obviously, if you add Dame, he's a great three-point shooter, but you have to have performances as a team. So I think Miami, if they get Dame, they're going to be really exciting. I would definitely put them in the contending tier, which I have, but I don't necessarily think they're going to be better than the Celtics and Bucks next season.
Interesting. I mean, you really think the Bucks are going to be as good? I mean, I kind of, from what I'm seeing, I'm a little, getting a little doubtful. You know, they fired the coach, right? They're, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, the Bucks, we'll put them in there. Well, I mean, you have to until you see otherwise. But I would put the Heat above the Bucks, for sure. You know, they proved that they belong, you know, what they did in the playoffs last year. They beat the top teams in the East. Even with Dame or not, they're still a contender, I think. If they get him without giving up too much of their depth, they get a little better, I agree. And they'll have to play a little more of an offensive style game, which will be interesting to see. But who do you think, like, say we do go Bucks and Heat, right? Who do you think, what team is next after that in the East, right?
The Celtics is easy for me.
Celtics. Yeah, I kind of subconsciously left them out because I don't like them very much. But yeah, the Celtics are obviously at the top, you know.
For me, yeah. In the East, there's those top three, and then there's everyone else.
Who's four then in the East?
Four is up for grabs. I just lumped that.
This is an interesting convo, yeah.
Bucks, Celtics, Heat, and it's everyone else that doesn't quite have enough. Two of those teams that we root for, I have them in the pretenders category. Not that I think they're a horrible team by any means, but they're not there yet, in my opinion. And I don't think they're going to be there yet next season, barring any sort of crazy trade. So in my pretenders in the West, I have the Clippers and I have the Kings. And then in the East, I have the Sixers with or without Harden, and I have the Knicks.
Yeah, no, I agree with one of those two teams being pretenders in the East.
Give me your Knicks argument here.
I mean, we're talking about winning a championship, I guess, right? So I wouldn't call them pretenders for winning a championship. I would say maybe they're going to advance even further towards becoming a contender, right? This year, I think they're going to be better this year than they were last year. And last year they won the first round, right? They had a very competitive series against Miami, who ended up making the finals, right? I would say that the Knicks are the third best team in the East. I would put Milwaukee below them, right? Reason for that is the culture that has been built there. Jalen Brunson is a legitimate leader and superstar on the team. They signed DiVincenzo, you know, played his ass. I don't know if we could say ass on the Spotify. But
we can. Go ahead. Go for it.
Played his ass off on on Golden State last year, right? A really solid defender, a great three-point shooter, deep three-point shooter, just another tool, you know. I like the team that they have. You know, Randall, if Randall can figure it out in the playoffs, I think they are contenders. That's the missing piece, but he hasn't shown it yet, but I think it's certainly possible for him to play like he does all year at the end of the year. Why not? So that's my argument for the Knicks. The Sixers, I agree with you. I don't like that situation at all. It's becoming toxic, you know. The minute you got Harden, you knew eventually it was going to become toxic in some way, shape, or form, unfortunately. You have a new coach also, like, I'd be interested to find out, like, how often when a team changes coaches, like, how often they, if they've ever won a championship, right, the next year, like, if a team just completely changes coaches, like, I think Steve, that happened with, Steve Kerr in Golden State, right? But, Mark Jackson, he got fired for other reasons. But he coached the hell out of that team and built a championship team. And then Steve Kerr came in and sat on the bench and watched them win, basically, right? That's not what's happening in Philadelphia. The team's falling apart. They have an MVP and Embiid, right? But the team around him, like you said earlier, not very deep. The bench is not looking great. Like, they need to kind of rebuild and reset. So there's talk about Embiid, people speculating at least Embiid might ask out. Who knows if that'll actually happen or not, but it'll be interesting to see. I think the Sixers will be interesting next year, right? If they're going to show progress or they're going to really regress, they could go either way, in my opinion. So,
yeah, for me, I think I'm at the point where I'd rather just not bring Harden back and just get whatever assets that you can and just treat this season as a bridge year. And you're selling Embiid, hey, like, this is going to be, you know, a bridge year. We're not going to have much expectations. But since we did not offer Maxey the extension this offseason and we're doing that next offseason, we open up a new max slot contract, a spot. So you can sign Maxey next offseason. You can sign another max player in that offseason as well. And then you can build from there. That's where I'm at. I really, at this point, Harden doesn't do it for me. You know, he can play like an all-star and he can play like a scrub, right? You know, I don't care if he's averaging 10 assists per game. If he's giving you 7 points in a playoff game, I'm just done with that. Like, you need more consistency. I'd rather have a Zach LaVine any day of the week, and people are really down on him, you know, going into the season too. We'll get into the Bulls too, because they made one of my crazy categories that you'll love here too. But that's where I'm at with the Sixers right now. I just don't know. I'm looking at the situation. Harden prefers to go to the Clippers, which on the surface, okay, like, you want to play with Kawhi, you want to play with Paul George, but they're both due contract extensions next summer. So if you're the Clippers and either one of those guys gets injured for the entire season or most of the season, right, and they miss the playoffs or they're not healthy in the playoffs, if you're James Harden, why would you want to hitch your wagon to that team, right? Like, instead of just going out there and performing well with the Sixers because you are a good fit there, at least in the regular season, you can boast your contract level for next offseason. You're going to LA and they can just scrap the entire thing next summer and you're back in this situation, right? You're taking a risk that you're going to fit in LA. And look, he's a good player. He might average 10 assists over there too, but that's just not a scenario for him where I'm like, oh, that's a dream scenario for you to go to and you're going to get paid no matter what. That's a huge risk that he's taking.
Yeah, it's almost like he doesn't believe in himself or something. I don't know. Like, he went to Brooklyn to team up with Kyrie and KD, right? Now he's trying to go to LA to team up with Paul George and Kawhi. Like, why not bet on, I agree with you, bet on himself, go all in to try to win in Philly. I think they had a real shot last year. You know, they blew it against Boston. They probably should have won that series, I think.
Yeah, they're up 3-2, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they completely blew it, but why not look at that and say, okay, let's try again. And no, it's a shame, but it's almost like he doesn't want to bet on himself. So,
yeah, I mean, I like Daryl Morey in his press conference saying, you know, to Sixers fans, don't worry about the roster in July. And I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. And what else are you going to say anyway at that point without giving up some sort of leverage publicly? However, it seems at least right now, initially, that in the midst of Harden and his issues with the team and with Morey, the Sixers brass kind of just let this offseason get away from them. I'm not saying they were going to go out and make a huge splash, right, as far as signings, but their bench got even worse. And their bench has been a huge issue for the last 4, 5, 6 years, as long as they've been in that contending conversation. So I'm curious to see what happens. I don't see Harden playing for the Sixers. I think he would sit out in that scenario, at least until October, November, and then see what happens there. Morey's not going to shift his belief. He wants to have two stars at all times on his squad. And I agree with that. But at some point it's like, all right, we have to just sort of just move on, give Tyrese Maxey a little bit more, you know, openings in offense, maybe initiate some more offense as well too. And give Embiid some peace of mind, too, because this is the second straight offseason, as we pointed out last episode, that his leading ball handler wants out, right? So I was talking to one of my Sixers buddies, a good friend of mine, and, you know, the only pivot that you can have right now if you're the Sixers to stay in the championship conversation, again, not saying this makes them the favorite, but you have to go for an older star player, right? So, like, say, like, DeMar DeRozan wants out of Chicago. Chicago takes Harden for a year and then they rebuild after whatever assets Philly can give them. That's the only move, I think, at least from what I'm thinking right now, where that would make sense. But again, we're here now. I know we spent a lot of time on this, but, you know, Ben Simmons didn't want to play. You pivoted with Harden. That's the only card that you can have. And it was a great card because it kept them as a contender. But right now it's like you either trade for DeRozan or someone in that ballpark, or you just trade Harden to LA and, you know, take your chips to next offseason?
Yeah, the process, is it going to succeed or fail, right? The process did not account for variables, I think, of Ben Simmons' mental state and James Harden's confidence were variables that the process didn't account for. Also, Doc Rivers being a crappy coach. And, you know, so if you everything on paper looked great, but it's not worked out so far. So let's see what they're going to do next.
Yeah, we'll definitely be interested to see if Harden's traded by next episode or whatever. I don't think it's going to be imminent,
the owner seems more concerned about throwing like white parties and parties, you know, than he does about
I have no issue with that. It's Maury's. This is Maury's, you know, job right now, right? To see what he
can get.
That's
true. That's true.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the Sixers were dealt a huge, you know, hand here with this. So, like, again, Ben Simmons decides he doesn't want to play.
Yeah.
You know, Embiid calls out Simmons like 6 years, 5 years after, you know, Simmons does not improve whatsoever on offense. Like, oh my gosh, like, boohoo. You know, now you want to cry wolf. We can get into that some other time, but. What I'm saying is Maury's trying to do what he can, but he was definitely dealt, you know, a bad blow here. And it goes back to, you know, 2018, like you run that team back with Jimmy Butler instead of choosing Brett Brown and Ben Simmons, different team, man. You run that back. You might make it to the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Keeps me up at night, Pat. Let's move on before I, you know, blow a vein here.
But again, they could have won last year. I totally believe that. Even despite all that, they could have won with the team they have now, and they blew it. And they could try again, but I don't know.
Yeah, my last point of that, there's no way I'm paying Harden that money, you know, when he's 35, 36, 37 years old. So that's why, like, I agree with this move. I wish he had, like, 2 years left on his contract so they can kind of run it back and see what happens. But, yeah,
Do you think if Harden leaves, like, is Embiid going to re-sign and stay? Is Embiid there long-term?
Well, I think you have to sell him on that bridge year theory, right? Like, hey, like, if you can just put up with this for 1 year next summer, and again, I'm not saying this player is available, but like, let's go after, you know, next year, you know, Zach LaVine or someone like that, right? Where you have Maxi, you have Embiid, and you have that third guy. Ideally would be a shooting guard or a small forward that can create his own shot, which is what you need to win in the finals. You saw that with Jamal Murray in the finals this year. He was a huge difference maker, while Jimmy Butler did not make his jump shots in that final series. So that's what you have to sell. And I guess internally, you know, we had no idea what's going on behind closed doors. But if you're Embiid and you're fine with that, then okay. But you're also, it's also risky all around too, because you can be selling that to him and then July comes and you swing and miss on all the marquee free agents too, right?
Right.
Or there's no one to trade for. So, and that's ultimately my prediction, Pat. And I think Embiid would be awesome to watch at the Garden if he was in the Sixer. I love going to New York as well too. So, wouldn't be the worst thing for me as a fan here. But long story short,
that would be
yeah,
wild. I don't know who we would trade you for him, but that would be crazy if that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, to sum all this up so we can move on here, if they don't sign or trade for a marquee all-star by this time next year, then Embiid's probably, you know, going to request out, and I can't blame
him. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, like you said, he's two years in a row, like the other star on the team has wanted out and caused a big problem for him. So, and he's playing his ass off. So
let's move on, Pat, because I can't take this anymore. It's very upsetting to me. Clippers, again, I don't think they have enough. I think they're a pretender. You know, even if they signed or traded for James Harden, I still don't think they beat Denver. I really don't.
Wow.
I don't even know, because I just don't have faith in Paul George and Kawhi staying healthy. It just seems like those guys want to sit on the bench. You know,
yeah, I mean, that's why they're pretenders, is because of the health question. Yeah, I mean, but if they're both healthy and playing, they're contenders, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, both of those guys play 60-plus games next year. I think they're a second seed, at least. But who knows what happens with them. We discussed the Kings already. Let's go to – so I have my not there yet section. These teams are just kind of in the middle, and they need to add a ton more before I take them seriously.
You have actually – just so I understand your rankings, and maybe the listeners might think this as well. You have pretenders are higher than this tier, are higher than not there yet.
Correct. So the pretenders are –
because when I hear pretenders, I think they're like not even close. So
no, I gotcha. I think for me, in my definition, and again, it's fluid, the pretenders, it's like teams that could be in the conversation or are in some people's conversation, but they're not really going to have a chance to win next year, in my opinion.
Okay. I gotcha.
So I can't see those four teams actually winning the championship unless they add something. I'm not there yet. It's kind of like the NBA purgatory, I should say. So they need to add a ton more in order to be, you know, in that championship conversation. I have four teams in this conversation. So the Grizzlies, the Cavaliers, the Mavericks, and the Pelicans.
Yeah. You think they all have question marks. Do I think they need to add a ton to get good? I don't know, right? Like they, you know, they made the playoffs, or they're close to making the playoffs. I just think it's a matter of them figuring it out and growing. But I see what you're saying. I mean, if I'm talking about a team that really needs to add a piece or two, I think of like the Hawks, right? I think of the Timberwolves, teams that may not even make the playoffs, you know, with their current team. These other teams you named, I think, will make the playoffs at least, right? And I think you probably agree. And so they always have a chance, but maybe, again, it's me just misunderstanding the tiers, but
no,
your points
on
the teams are spot on for sure. Yeah,
I think it goes to like the respect of like how top heavy the conferences are. Right. So I don't think teams are quite there yet, but you're going to like my next topic, which is, what are we doing here? This is my three team tier here. You named two of them. So Timberwolves, the Hawks, and I added the Bulls.
Okay. Yeah. So I already named the what are we doing here tier. That's funny. No, the Bulls, I agree with. Yeah. I just didn't think of them when I was rounding off the teams, but yeah, throw them in there. Same situation where they, you know, they have some good players, but are they not going to make the playoffs? It's completely up in the air. They don't really have any future planned out right now. The Pelicans, you know, if Zion is healthy, is the question mark with them, right? But if he is, I think they had the best record the second best record in the league at the beginning of the season last year when he was playing and he was healthy.
The first 2 months, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so... maybe they're actually contenders that we just don't know about yet. But
it's another one. If Zion plays, is he going to play 23 games this year? We have no idea.
There's so many players now that you just don't know if they're going to play or not. It's wild, man. I don't know if I'm liking this in the NBA, but
well, now you have you know, the first team, second team, and all that stuff. That's going to be based off of games played, which is going to be nice. So that can really affect contracts. That's why Jaylen Brown got paid so much today, because he made the second team All NBA. Right? It would have, you know, he would have still got paid heavily, right? But he's not making $300+ million for 5 years unless he makes that team. I'm hoping that, along with the, you know, anti-flopping rule, I think that's going to really help too. I saw you'll love this too, Pat. You'll appreciate that I actually saw this and I'm bringing it to the show. Per Vegas, the odds, LeBron is the favorite to have the first flopping violation against him.
Yeah, LeBron is a flopper. It's been his whole career. You know, I don't know if he'll be the first. I mean, there's an even bigger flopper named Trae Young I'd put my money on. I think it's like Trae Young, literally, if he did not flop, right, he wouldn't be in the NBA. So let's see how he does next year. Let's see how he does. So
yeah, the Timberwolves are paying three centers $100 million combined next season. Again, what are we doing here? If I walked into a team meeting, that would be the logo, you know, the message on top of the whiteboard. The Bulls, LaVine, DeRozan, Vucevic, just I have no idea why you even resigned Vucevic at that point. You know, he's a good player, but you're not going anywhere. It's time to blow that up. And the Hawks, I think out of all teams that are like fringe playoff spot teams, I have no idea what they're going to do in the future. They seem to not even have a blueprint at this point.
Yeah, the Hawks are going to suck next year. Trae Young is going to, you know, probably be cut by the end of the season and be playing in Europe, hopefully. The Bulls, the living old ad, the other thing to throw in there is like Lonzo Ball is may never play again, right? That's also going to hang over the team. He was a major part of what they were building. Gone. So they need to rebuild at this point. So unfortunately.
I love that Trae Young in Europe. Oh, that was awesome. Just tell me how you really feel, Pat. Be a little bit more unfiltered here.
I could be if you want, but I don't want to sound too off the rails.
Let's move on from the Hawks. I don't want to, press that nerve again. I'm sorry about that. Lastly, I didn't do all the teams in tiers because, teams like the Spurs, like they need time to build. Like anyone can see that. But I did have
They're at the bottom. Yeah.
I had three exciting playoff bubble teams that I'm most excited to watch. I wonder if there's another team that you would add here. But for me, number one, the Jazz. I like what they're doing there. I've been a big fan of them in the previous pods too. They have a great structure over there. It seems like they have the team chemistry too, good leadership. So I'm excited to see what they do. I think they could make the playoffs in the West this year, whether that's playing or a straight, 6-7 seed. I like the Thunder as well. So, I mean, the Jazz and the Thunder, I think they have half of the NBA's first round picks for the next 6 years. At least that's what it seems, right? And then Brooklyn. So I'm just excited mostly for Brooklyn because of Mikal Bridges. I want to see if he turns into like a 27-7-7 type player. They're definitely going to most likely trade away some assets before they start building something, legit. So they'll probably trade Dinwiddie and such next offseason. But yeah, really excited for those three teams. Are there any other teams within that bucket that you would add?
Yeah, I could think of a few. I mean, points about those teams first, though. Like Brooklyn, I would put above the other two teams. You didn't mention Cam Johnson either on that team. They are, I think they're still going to be very good. They're going to be mid Eastern Conference, I think, in fact. And I'm not a Nets fan at all. So the other two teams I could see, like Oklahoma City, they are definitely making the playoffs. They have a star in Gildas Alexander, Chet Holmgren. He's going to actually get to play this year. Looks really impressive. People are saying he might actually outplay Wembanyama. So we'll see about that. They have a lot of other good young players on the team too. The other teams I put in the same category, one is Dallas, right? I'm not very high on Dallas. They have Luka and Kyrie, and then that's it. Can the two of them figure out how to win playing basically the same position? I don't have a lot of faith in that. But they could still possibly make the playoffs, right? And be in the same category as the rising teams, if that makes sense. And the other kind of wild card I'll throw in for fun, which I do kind of believe in this argument, would be the Washington Wizards.
Wow. Yeah. Am I hearing this right? Playoff bubble? Am I hearing you, Pat? I'm breaking up.
You're hearing me right. The Washington Wizards. Jordan Poole. Has playoff experience. I think he could really be the leader of the team, basketball-wise at least. And then I like the other pickups they made of Tyus Jones and Kuzma, right? I think I could see that team gelling at least and making the playoffs and set themselves up well. So,
well, I think Jordan Poole is going to have the green light on every possession. He could score 40 a game, but he's probably going to allow 50 points a game on the defensive end. So, yeah. I'm not as high on the Wizards as you. Let's just put it that way. I think they're going to be a lottery.
That's fair. Maybe. I don't know. You don't necessarily have to play defense to make the playoffs these days.
It's true. Just look at the Warriors last year.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, just lastly, I brought them up already, but really excited to watch the Spurs next season out of arguably the bottom eight teams next year. I don't think it's even close. Like, if you're trying to label these teams as NBA league pass teams, like teams you're turning that on for late at night, the Spurs are number one all day, and it's obvious with Victor.
Yeah. I mean, low-tier teams, Spurs, in terms of wanting to watch, Spurs give me the most reason. But, I'm still kind of interested in some of the young teams at the bottom of the league to see, like, if they do start to show progress, and you know, like Detroit with Cade Cunningham, I think they're probably, they might be the worst team in the league right now, but they are, in Jaden Ivey, right? Like they have young talent. Why can't, I mean, they can at least be exciting to watch, like Charlotte, right? With LaMelo Ball. What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Brandon Miller.
He can go to Europe with Trae Young for all I care.
I mean, I think he's better than Trae Young personally, but, yeah, Brandon Miller, is he going to be good or not? Who knows? Indiana, they're building out a base of a team, right? I'd watch them. The Orlando Magic, I'd watch them. Paolo Banchero and, you know, the Wagner, you know, brothers on that team. Like,
I actually have a bold Orlando Magic take. I think they make the playoffs next
year. Oh, okay. Wow. I mean,
I like the
so they're your there. Wizards then. Okay.
Well, they at least have a squad, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Do they? I mean, they have a young, they have young talent. You know, unproven squad. The Wizards actually have like some more proven players on their team.
I don't even know if Washington realizes they have a team there, man. Like if you live in Washington right now, like 30-year-old, I'm not sure you even know who the Wizards are. I'm just putting that out there.
I mean, all three of those players I named have been in the playoffs, right? Before, right? Tyus
they
Jones,
have, but. Who else outside of them is going to play well though? Like they're probably going to blow it up even more before they start building, right? So I love Kuzma, I love Tyus Jones, and I love Poole, but aside from that, they don't have a big man down there, a true big man, you know. So I don't see them winning more than I wonder what their Vegas line is. I have to look at that. I don't see them winning more than 25 games next season.
They'll probably be right around that. Yeah, I mean, who knows? But I'm probably completely wrong, but. If I'm right, I'll look good. So,
well, I'm looking forward to all regular season. If they win, you're gonna send me a text, be like, "Hey,
no,
see that? See that?" You know you will. No, come on, you know you will.
I mean, if they make the playoffs, I'll be sending you a text. But
I'm not answering. You're off the pot if they make the playoffs. Like, I gotta have someone else. I can't live up to that embarrassment every day. So I'm on record right now. Like, if they made the playoffs next season, Pat, you're not on the pot anymore.
What do you mean? I mean, if anything, you shouldn't be on. If I'm the right one. You're going to take me off because I was right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Moving on. But no, I like that you brought up those other teams too. So Brandon Miller, really exciting to watch. Just to add one more team to that bucket, I'd say Portland. You know, as soon as they get rid of Dame, like Scoot seems like the real deal. I'm really excited for NBA League Pass next season, I got to say. Like that 10:30 slate is going to be awesome on the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not staying up to watch Portland, but I'll ask you the next day how they did. So,
well, I'll have a second little one by Christmas time, dude. So I'll be up all night. I'll fill you in every morning. but I'm
true.
Looking forward to giving this new baby a bottle. And then you have Victor Wembanyama around, you know, 9 o'clock, 9:30, and then Scoot to tuck you in. Great NBA League Pass season. I'm telling you.
There's a lot of exciting young players in the NBA now that will be fun to watch. So I agree with you there.
Let's shift to potential trades and just other news of today really quick before we log off here. Donovan Mitchell. So I brought this up to you, Pat, too. I found it interesting. So there was a report today that a lot of the insiders do not see Donovan Mitchell re-signing Cleveland, that at some point they're going to have to decide whether they think they can make him fall in love with the team in the city or trade him. And there was even one league rep that said that they would probably trade him right now if it was their decision. While you have some leverage, he has 2 years left on his contract. What do you make of all that? I know he's been tied to the Knicks as well, Pat. I know you would love him in orange and blue, but what do you see happening for Donovan Mitchell? Do you think he actually resigns or he's most likely going somewhere else in 2 years?
Yeah, it's a weird situation, right? Like what happened last offseason, like he basically thought, and he said this on a podcast or something, he thought he was going to the Knicks, right? And was excited for it. And the Utah Jazz decided to, out of spite, not trade him to the Knicks because they didn't like how the Knicks were negotiating for him, apparently. And he ended up getting traded to Cleveland, right, for probably lesser of a package, in my opinion. So he's not necessarily that excited about being in Cleveland. You know, then not only that, on top of that, they lost to the Knicks last year in the playoffs, right? That makes the situation even more interesting, I think.
Doesn't help.
They lost to the team. Everyone's speculating on where he wants to be, right? And he didn't necessarily look like he was treating them as adversaries that whole series. It was a very respectful series. I was watching his body language and how, you know, he was interacting with the players. He looked friendly, to be honest. So I believe the smoke that he wants to be in New York. I do believe that. Is he going to wait the 2 years and then just sign in New York? I think that's probably what's going to happen. That lines up with the Knicks plan also. I don't think the Knicks want to give up some of their young players for him if they think they're going to get him in 2 years. Like, they're happy with the team they have now, and they'll wait for 2 years. So pressure's on Cleveland. If they want to rebuild and get rid of him, the pressure would be on them to facilitate that trade, I think, because I do see an argument why he would not want to re-sign there. I mean, if they make the playoffs again and they, you know, make a real run next year, then that maybe changes things. But he's been there already too, right? He made real decent runs with Utah, right? And kind of, you know, well, he wants to be, I bet by now, in a situation where he really has a solid team around him. And the Knicks, as crazy as this is for me to say or anyone to say, is they're building a real culture and certain type of players on the team, and really kind of just moving slowly towards winning. You know, each year they're making a jump. So I'm excited to see how they do next year. If they start, you know, being in that top tier, like we talked about at the beginning, if they do live up to what I said, being the third best team in the East, let's say, maybe that makes it more enticing for him, right, to join that team. And then I could see him really facilitating and forcing a trade. And that would be interesting to see if the Knicks even want to do it. But I believe the smoke, and he's just not the type of player that's on going to post anything on social media or kind of start the conspiracy theories himself. So
yeah, I agree with all those points. I think a year from now was when it's really going to get interesting, because then he could really put, you know, start the clock, the stopwatch on Cleveland's brass, right? And say, hey, like, I'm not going to resign when it comes July next season, right? So that's when it's going to start getting tricky. You're going to have teams give out their best packages to get Donovan Mitchell. And to the point of being linked to the Knicks, like, if you're the Knicks, like, are you going to offer your best package, or are you going to say no? At that point, we're going to get him in a year anyway. We believe that. So while we give up, you know, four or five talented players with picks just to get him when we can get him for free in a year. So I'm looking forward to that next offseason with Mitchell, because I don't think he's going to resign in Cleveland. I thought that was one of the weirdest trades I ever saw, because I'm not sure that he wanted to play there to begin with. They're not a terrible team. They made the playoffs, but they don't have much going on for them, in my opinion, outside of Mitchell. I'm not a big Darius Garland fan. He can score the ball at will on certain nights, but you know how I feel about the small guards. Like, defensively, come playoff time, different animal. And you saw the Knicks, you know, take advantage of that too. So yeah, I think Mitchell most likely ends up with another team. I don't think that Cleveland trades him right now. They're probably going to take their chances and help him fall in love. You know, maybe they add an addition to the team and maybe convince him to stay. But if I had to put money on it, he's probably going to be a New York Knick, you know, by 2025.
That'd be great. I mean, I think he's a great player. The only thing I'll say on Cleveland is if Evan Mobley, they're kind of banking on Evan Mobley stepping up and becoming like a superstar, which is possible. So if that happens, like, maybe they'll improve. But
yeah, everyone's waiting for that. I think he's in, you know, the most improved player conversation. The odds reflect that as well, too. If he can add just some sort of consistent jumper, like making 6-7 jump shots a game, it's over. I mean, that's a completely different ball game. But he had too many games last year that I watched, and I know, you know, he's still very young. He has time to flourish, but he had too many games last year where he had like 9 rebounds at half, but he had like 2 or 3 points. And it's like, come on, like, you gotta, you know, be much more of a threat, a consistent threat than that too. If I had to forecast what would happen with Cleveland, I think they get rid of Jared Allen and get that contract off the books. They let Mobley, you know, have more freedom defensively and offensively within their game plan. And then you can go from there. But I agree with you. If he can somehow improve to a fringe all-star next season, it might be a different conversation when it comes to Mitchell.
Yeah. Mobley and Allen were absolutely bullied by the Knicks in that playoff series. Like,
what did Allen say? That the lights were too bright?
Oh, my God, man. Like, they were, like, it was embarrassing. Like, Randall and Mitch Robinson were just, like, treating them like children. So, unless they figure that if they get bigger, I don't, Jared Allen, like, he's a center, but he is kind of lightweight, you know, so he might not be the right fit. So I agree with that. Maybe they should trade Allen and get more of a conventional, like, bigger, stronger center. So we'll see.
Moving on real quick, because I'm almost tired of talking about this too, Pat. We'll keep this segment quick, I promise you. But Dame Lillard, I don't see him going anywhere but Miami. I don't think any outside team is going to offer anything for him, you know, of worthwhile value. Not that they can't. You know, the Jazz, we mentioned the Thunder, for instance, they have half of the NBA's first round picks for the next 3-4 years. I don't see that happening. I see Dame forcing his way to Miami, whether it's today or it's, you know, early October. I would be shocked if he's not in a Heat uniform by the start of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to have all the leverage, right? So if he gets traded, it'll be to Miami. If not, he'll probably sit out in Portland or play in Portland and until they find a trade for him. So.
Yeah, I just can't imagine paying him $60-plus million when he's, you know, 36. Which, speaking of, let's get to Jaylen Brown real quick, too, before we log off here. So about 3 hours before we logged on here, Pat, Jaylen Brown signs a 5-year, $304 million extension. Wow. Just wow. Like, if you talked to me about 10 years ago and asked me to predict the player that would sign the first $300 million contract in the NBA, I don't think I would have thought about Jaylen Brown whatsoever. Like, this is nuts to me, even 5 years ago in that conversation. Year one, he's making $52 million. Year two, $56 million. By year five, he's making just shy of $70 million. Absolute insanity. I'm happy for him. I think he's a good player, but that's a lot of money. And some people might disagree here and think it's a hot take, but I could not pay a guy $300 million if he's not even in the best 15 players in the league right now. I think he's outside that top 15.
So, I mean, the reason why is the reason, I guess, what reason is it that these players' contracts are skyrocketing, you know, throughout their careers, right? Like, not even compared to them doing better, but just like compared to other players who are at their tier in the past, they're just getting so much more, right? My question is, why don't our salaries do that during careers?
That
right?
would be amazing. I was like, gonna say, like,
the place you're working
almost
at,
made, yeah.
Place you're working at becomes more profitable, why doesn't your salary go up? That's my question. But good for him. I agree with you. I wouldn't think I wouldn't put any money on him being the highest paid player in history or the NBA, especially the year after, you know, he was exposed for not being able to drive with his left hand. But here we are. He'll have to learn to dribble with his left hand now and live up to the contract. So good luck to him.
Yeah, I can't believe that number. Staggering. It's $65 million year four, $69 million year five. And I saw a comparison right after I saw him sign this. Luka signed a 5-year, $207 million extension that began last season. So if Brown is going to make $300 million,
wow,
not this season, but the next starting, what does Luka make in 5 years for a 5-year contract? Over four, right? Like, that's not obscene.
How old is he in 5 years? Is he about as old as Jaylen Brown is now? Probably.
Yeah, like,
right?
28 or so, right? Yeah. If my math's correct, yeah.
Guess we'll see.
You might
maybe
see
100 million per year. More likely, though, it'll be like we'll have a huge collapse to our economy and he'll make like $2 million a year. That's probably more likely. So
I got to say, he's probably going to sign for 450 in 5 years for 5-year contracts.
Yeah,
I'd say.
I mean,
2028. That's not obscene.
If there even is an NBA, so.
Oh, there will be, unless there's, you know, some sort of like LIV Goff around here where they're offering these players $100 million to come over to, you know, Germany or whatever, right?
I bet in 5 years the top team will be the Harlem Globetrotters.
There you go. I like that prediction.
He'll be playing on the Harlem Globetrotters in 5 years.
I like that. See, like, you're having these crazy predictions today. So the Harlem Globetrotters, the Wizards making the playoffs. But yeah,
Trae Young's playing in Europe. Don't forget that.
I love it. Yeah, I'm gonna write all these down and we'll make a post about it too. But as always, Pat, I appreciate you hopping on here, brother. Hopefully, you know, we'll see some more action as far as, you know, trades and momentum and signings, you know, in the next month here. before we get into the regular season talk as well, too. But as always, guys, thanks for listening. We're on Spotify and Apple Podcasts now, too. So if you're on one or out the other, you know, you always have access to us here. Drop us any questions below in the comments or any topics you would like to see us discuss. And yeah, attack Pat regarding his Washington Wizards playoff prediction here. I would love to see that. So
yeah, go ahead and attack if you want. But before you do, just also hit like and subscribe on YouTube. So thank you, everyone.
That's all you have to do. All right, Pat, appreciate it, man. Let's log off here and I'll see you again next week.
All right, man. See you then.